Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour, apostolic Sabbatarian congregation on at the 12th Hour. In the Liberty Hill, Texas, today is May 24, 2014, or it is this 26, 2018. We will start our first service on this Sabbath day with a song entitled, Shall We Gather at the River? Shall we gather at the river, where bright angel feet have trod, with this crystal tide forever flowing by the throne of Yah? Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful river. Gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of Yah. On the margin of the river was seen up a silver spray. We will walk and worship ever all the happy golden day. Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful river. Gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of Yah. Ere we reach the shining river, lay we every burden down. Grace our spirits will deliver and provide a robe and crown. Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful river. Gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of Yah. Soon we'll reach the shining river, soon our pilgrimage will cease, soon our happy hearts will quiver with a melody of peace. Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful river. Together with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of Yah. 144,000, part 2. We're going to start on page 26. We're going to do a little review on page 25. He says, some may think that Sister White is 144,000 because she entered this temple, and now that she is dead, that part of the 144,000 will be resurrected. There is no cause for confusion here. She could have entered the temples before or after, or she could have gone right along with them, and still it would not change the thought. For we must remember that this is only a vision and not the real 144,000. They were not made up at that time. Neither was the she bodily there. For this vision was given for her to make a report and reveal a certain truth. In other words, she was a reporter. What kind of a report could have been given if she had not entered the temple? For the command, only the 144,000 enter here, had no reference to her whether she should stay out or enter. She is one with them, but not one of them. Okay, we have our subtitle. What kind of seal is it? Question mark. Reference is made in the Testimony of the Ministers, page 445. For the subject is about the sealing of the Revelation 7 with the 144,000, we quote, for this sealing of the servants of the Elohim is the same that was shown unto the Ezekiel and the vision. Now, if the ceiling of the 144,000 of Revelation 7 is the same as Ezekiel 9, in order to find the kind of ceiling it is and the time of its beginning, we must study Ezekiel 9:1-9. He cried also in my ears with a loud voice, saying, cause them that have charge over the city to draw near, even every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. And behold, six men came from the way of the higher gate, which lieth toward the north, and every man a slaughter weapon in his hand. And one man among them was clothed with a linen, with a writer's inkhorn by his side. And they went in and stood beside the brazen altar. And the glory of the Yahweh of the Israel was gone up from the cherub whereupon he was to the threshold of the house. Then he called unto the man clothed with the linen, which had the writer's inkhorn by his side. And the Yahweh said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of the Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. And unto the other he said in mine hearing, go ye after him through the city and smite, let not your eye spare, neither have you pity, slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. And they began to ancient men which were before the house, and he said unto them, defile the house and fill the courts of the slain. Go ye forth, and they went forth and slew in the city. And it came to pass while they were slaying them, and I was left, that I fell upon my face and cried and said, O Yahweh Elohim, wilt thou destroy all the residue of the Israel, and thou pouring out of thy fury upon Jerusalem? Then said he unto me, the iniquity of the house of the Israel and Judah is exceeding great. It is positive that the ceiling of the house of Israel and Judah is exceeding great. Oh, it says the iniquity. Let's read that again. Then said he unto me, for the iniquity of the house of the Israel, Seventh-day Adventist, and Judah, the Davidian Seventh-day Adventist, is exceedingly great. For it is positive that the ceiling of the 144,000 is Ezekiel 9, by the separation of the sifting in the church with the righteous from the unrighteous. Volume 1, page 181. For I asked the meaning of the shaking I had seen, and was shown that it would be caused by the straight testimony called forth by the counsel of the true witness unto the letter sin. Read the entire page. Note, the shaking begins after the straight testimony of the true witness is come. Okay, now, I'd like to say that the testimony of the true witness gave us testimony to the angel of Laodicea, 2002 at Kermit, and that's what started the great shaking in the Adventist church. And that shaking was in the tribe of Judah, and a typical house of King Saul or Esau. Okay, now, the true witness is Elijah. When Elijah comes in these last days, he's like John the Baptist. He's a forerunner of the Yahshua, and he's a true witness. John the Baptist was a true witness in his day. He was the true witness for announcing the Yahshua. All right, now we're going to go into another subtitle entitled The Two Seals. Is the Sabbath the seal of the 144,000? First of all, it will be noticed that the definition of seal is an instrument which is used to seal, fasten up, or enclose securely to establish or settle beyond the question unto the point or to point out and determine designate an effort will be made to bring forth enough Bible evidence to satisfy anyone believing in the Scriptures that all who were saved in the ages past, as well as those who are to be saved now, must have the seal of the Yahweh. For the Paul in his letter unto the Ephesians said that they were to be sealed. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of the Elohim, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of the redemption. Ephesians 4:30. For the grace of the sanctification wrought in the soul by the Yahweh Spirit is a seal and assurance of one's redemption to come, of a joyful resurrection. For the use and end of this sealing is the sacredness and safety of the thing sealed from the eyes of the curiosity and the hands of the violence, which otherwise would be abused by strangers and enemies. Thus the children of Elohim are past the censure of the wicked world. They are preserved as precious things for the Elohim's own use, to be with him in heaven. Quoting 2 Timothy 2:19, written unto the Corinthians, nevertheless, the foundation of the Elohim standeth sure, having this seal, for the Yahweh knoweth them that are his, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts, 2 Corinthians 1:22. For we read in Revelation 8 and 9 of the seven angels with their seven trumpets. These seven trumpets indicate the principal political and warlike events which were to transpire during the time of the gospel church. For the sealing of the 144,000 belongs to the time of the sixth trumpet, beginning with Revelation 9:1. We read about the angel with the fifth trumpet, verse 4 of this chapter, we quote, and it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men who have not the seal of the Elohim in their foreheads. Here we see that the many years before the third angel's message ever began to be preached, the saints of the Elohim were sealed with the seal of the Elohim, just the same as the ones under the third angel message are to be sealed. According to these scriptures, which are plainly stated, we must conclude that the saints of the Elohim are sealed with the present truth in all ages, and whatever that present truth is, that is the seal. For the present truth under the third angel's message is Sabbath truth. Therefore the Sabbath is a seal which seals the people who are obedient unto it. Quoting Great Controversy, page 452, for the seal of the Yahweh's law is found in the fourth commandment, and that's Abba Father. When the Sabbath was changed by the papal power, the seal was taken from the law. Early Writings, page 58, for the sealing time is very short and will soon be over. Those who died under the third angel's message, keeping the Sabbath are sealed with the Sabbath truth, but the 144,000 never die. While they must keep Sabbath and have that seal, they must sigh and cry for the abominations that are in the church. For otherwise, they cannot receive the mark by the angel with the writer's ink horn of Ezekiel 9, which is a seal according unto Testimonies Ministers, page 445, volume 5, pages 210 to 16, and volume 3, pages 266 to 7. For the sealing of the 144,000 is the separation of the faithful from the disloyal ones. For the purification of the church, those who do not keep the truth and indulge in the sins and abominations, who try to throw a cloak over the existing evils, will fall under the figure of the five men with the slaughter weapons of Ezekiel 9. For the Sabbath has been present true since 1845, and being the seal of the law of the Elohim, has been sealing the law among the people of the Elohim ever since that year, Isaiah 8:16. Bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples. This has been the work of the third angel. And for this reason, the third angel has no seal, for the seal is in the law, but the angel of Revelation 7 has a seal in his hand. Ezekiel calls him the man with the writer's ink horn, who is to set a mark upon the men who sigh and cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. That's the church, the Seventh-day Adventist church. And that includes the Davidians all in one place. That was the Gilead Center, 2002. This is the seal of the 144,000. But all the saved under the third angel are sealed with the Sabbath seal. For the 144,000 having this seal are also marked sealed by the angel of Revelation 7, which is the same as the one of Ezekiel 9. In other words, it may be termed a double seal. Ezekiel 9 is not a Sabbath seal. For this sealing of the 144,000 is not a Sabbath seal. However, those who are sealed must be Sabbath keepers. It is a seal or mark that separates the two classes in the church, and those who are sealed are marked, are not marked because they keep the Sabbath only, but because they sigh and cry for all the abominations that are done in the church. So both the sealing and the slaughter are in the Elohim's church and not in the Babylon or in the world. It is only in Jerusalem and Judah. And it started at Judah. 2002, it started at Judah. At the Ancient Men for the House at Kermit, Texas at Gilead Center. For the house of Israel, the church, Judah, the lawgiver, house of David, in the judgment of the living time, in Ezekiel 9:9 refers to those in the office. Okay. For Judah occupied the office of the Levites after the tribe of Levi was carried away. So that was a priesthood that Judah then was in charge of. There is not a thought about the world or the unrighteous. When the marking of sealing is finished, the five men of the slaughter weapons begin with the ancient men which were before the house, meaning the guardians of the spiritual. Interest of the people. See Volume 3, page 266-267 by Ellen G. White, and also Volume 5, page 210-212. For we quote Volume 5, page 211, for the ancient men, those unto whom Elohim had given great light, and who had stood as the guardians of the spiritual interests of the people, had betrayed their trust. They had taken the position that we need not look for the miracles and the marked manifestation of the Elohim's power as in the former days. Times have changed. These words strengthen their unbelief, and they say, the Yahweh will not do good, neither will he do evil. He is too merciful to visit his people in the judgment. Volume 3, page 265. But if the sins of the people are passed over by those in the responsible position, his frown will be upon them, and the people of the Elohim as a body will be held responsible for those sins. Those who are sealed, marked, and escape the ruin are the ones who will constitute the number which prophecy declares to be the 144,000. For our denomination numbers about 300,000. That was in the 1930. Now, this means the denomination will be divided in half and suggests the 10 virgins, 5 of whom were wise and 5 were foolish. In other words, half and half. May Elohim help his people and give us a vision of what sin is that we may put away the existing disastrous iniquity in the church. That's the house of Yahweh, Seventh-day Adventist. Notice that he called us being a Davidian, including himself with the mother church. Such a vision would cause us to sigh and cry for the abominations that are done in the midst of. He who understands the curse of sin would throw no cloak over the existing evil to obtain the favor of any. May Elohim lift us from the low spiritual level into which we have fallen, and save us from the lead of sin, a lukewarm condition. May we, as wise Nineveh of old, defeat the prophecy that heaven may rejoice. Sealing begins church at low ebb. Okay, this is this next subtitle. We're on page 30, Shepherd Rod, Volume 1. Okay, it says, it is for it is self, or it is evident, that if both the sealing and the slaughter are in the house of the Yahweh, starting with the ancient men before the house, and 2002 at the Kermit, Texas, the church which is with his people, and if more than one half of the people must perish for their sins except they repent, and if less than one half of the present membership would number 144,000. Of course, he's talking about, V.T. Hollis talking about those in 1930, the Adventist church. He's talking about, it is evident that if both the sealing and the slaughter are in the house of the Yahweh, the Seventh-day Adventist church, his people, and if more than one half of the people must perish for their sins except they repent, and if less than one half of the present membership would number 144,000, it certainly could not have begun many years ago, and much less with the beginning of the third angel's message, for there was no church then, but merely a handful of people. It could not have begun when the church was in a good spiritual condition. It must have begun when the church is at her lowest level and polluted with sin. Those who are to receive the seal and escape the slaughter must sigh and cry for all the abominations that is done in the midst of Volume 8. So it says, page 250, unless the church, which is now being leavened with her own backsliding, shall repent and be converted, she will eat of the fruit of her own doing until she shall abhor herself. Speaking of the 144,000, volume 5, page 210, it says, these crying ones had been holding forth the words of the life, a message. They had reproved, counseled, and entreated. Some who had been dishonored Elohim repented and humbled their hearts before him. But the glory of Yahweh had departed from Israel. Although many still continued the forms of religion, his power and presence were lacking in the time when his wrath shall go forth in the judgment. These humble, devoted followers of Yahshua will be distinguished from the rest of the world by their soul anguish, which is expressed in the lamentation and weeping and reproofs and warnings. While others try to throw a cloak over the existing evil and excuse the great wickedness everywhere prevalent, those who have a real zeal for the Elohim's honor and a love for the souls will not hold their peace for the obtaining of the favor of any, for they will be lamenting every kind, they will be lamenting and afflicting their souls because pride, avarice, selfishness, and deception of almost every kind are in the church. And if that was that way in 1930, what do you think it is today, 80-some years later? For the class who do not feel grieved over their own spiritual declension, nor mourn over the sins of the others, will be left without the seal of the Elohim. Here we see that the church, the Yahshua sanctuary, was the first to feel the stroke of the wrath of the Elohim. For the ancient men, those unto whom Elohim had given great light, and who had stood as the guardians of the spiritual interests of the people and had betrayed their trust. I don't believe that Yahweh gave the General Conference men great light. I believe it's available to them through the prophet, Ellen White, but I don't believe he personally gave them great light. Okay, volume 5, page 82. For the call to this great and solemn work was presented unto men of the learning and position. Had these been little in their own eyes and trusted fully in Yahweh, he would have honored them with bearing his standard in triumphing to the victory. But they separated from the Elohim, yielded unto the influence of the world, and the Yahweh rejected them. Volume 5, page 211 and 12. For they had taken the position that we need not look for the miracles and the marked manifestation of the Elohim power as in the former days. Times have changed. These words strengthen their unbelief, and they say, the Yahweh will not do good, neither will he do evil. He is too merciful to visit his people in the judgment. Thus peace and safety is a cry for men who will never again lift up their voice like a trumpet to show Elohim's people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sin. These dumb dogs that would not bark are the ones who feel the just vengeance of an offended Elohim. Men, maidens, and little children all perish together for the abominations for which the faithful ones were sighing and crying were all that could be discerned by the finite eyes. But by far the worst sins, those which provoked the jealousy of the pure and holy Elohim, were unrevealed. Our own course of action will determine whether we shall receive the seal of the living Elohim or be cut down by the destroying weapon. If we were to mark out the exact time of the beginning of this sealing, we would say it began sometime during 1929. Space will not permit us here to give our reasons for believing thus, but in another study this will be taken up. For the getting of the proper understanding of the third angel's message, we shall divide the message into three periods. Number one, beginning of the proclamation of the true Sabbath, Revelation 14, 6 and 11, or 2:11. And number two, a reformation and sealing of the 144,000, Revelation 7, 1 to 8. And number three, the loud cry of Revelation 18, 1. For the truth of sealing 144,000 being made known, it is evident that we are in the second period. If we had not known the commencement of the third angel's message, in its beginning we should have had no message. Therefore we must know the time of the last two periods when they came, being of no lesser importance. Okay. So it says that our next subtitle then would be the 144,000 calls of the sign and crying. Volume 5, pages 2, 10, and 11, in the time when his wrath shall go forth in the judgment, these humble, devoted followers of the Yahshua will be distinguished from the rest of the world by their soul anguish, which is expressed in the lamentation and weeping, reproofs and warnings. While others try to throw a cloak over the existing evil and excuse the great wickedness everywhere prevalent, those who have a zeal for the Elohim's honor and a love for the souls will not hold their peace to obtain favor of any. Their righteous souls are vexed day by day with the unholy works and conversation of the unrighteous, for they are powerless to stop the rushing torrent of the iniquity, and hence they are filled with the grief and alarm. They mourn before Elohim to see religion despised, despised in the very homes of those who have had great light, for they lament and afflict their souls because pride, avarice, selfishness, and deception of almost every kind are in the church. For the spirit of Elohim, which prompts to reproof, is trampled under the foot, while the servants of the Satan triumph. Elohim is dishonored, for the truth make of none effect. For the abomination for which the faithful ones were sighing and crying were all that could be discerned by the finite eyes, but by far their worst sins, those which provoked the jealousy of the pure and holy Elohim, were unrevealed. Volume 1, page 471, 472. A great mistake has been made by some who profess present truth by the introducing of the merchandise in the course of a series of meetings and by their tragic diverting minds from the object of the meetings. For it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, and you have made it a den of thieves. These traffickers might have pleaded as an excuse that the articles they held for sale were for sacrificial offering, but their object was to get gain, to obtain means, to accumulate. Ministers have stood in the desk and preached the most solemn discourse, and then by the introduction of the merchandise and acting the part of a salesman, even in the house of the Yahweh, they have diverted the minds of their hearers from the impressions received and destroyed the fruit of their labor. Their time and strength should be held in reserve, that their efforts may be thorough in a series of meetings. For their time and strength should not be drawn upon to sell our books when they can be properly brought before the public by those who have not the burden of the preaching of the word. Volume 8, page 250. Who can truthfully say our gold is tried in the fire? Our garments are unspotted by the world. I saw our instructor pointing to the garments of the so-called righteousness. Stripping them off, he laid bare the defilement beneath. Then he said to me, can you not see how they have pretentiously covered up their defilement and rottenness of the character? How has a faithful city become an harlot? My father's house is made a house of merchandise, a place whence the divine presence and glory have departed. For this cause there is weakness, and strength is lacking. Thus the time and the condition of the church at the beginning of the sealing of the 144,000 is well portrayed by both the Bible and the spirit of the prophecy. It is an admitted fact among Seventh-day Adventists that the church has been on the decline for some years, but never has it been in such a low spiritual condition as it is now. There is scarcely any... Let's do that again. For there is scarcely any difference now between the church and the world. Partial list of the abominations in the church. Lack of reverence in the house of Elohim, Isaiah 56:7. Volume 5, page 492 to 500. Number 2, following the fashions of the world, Isaiah 3:16, volume 1, pages 269 and 70. Volume 4, pages 632. Volume 3, page 379. Volume 5, page 78. Volume 1, pages 189 to 191. Volume 1, pages 135 and 136. Volume 4, pages 631. Number 3. Spending money for that which is not bread. Health reform. Isaiah 55, 2. Volume 5, page 197. Isaiah 56, 12. Many references can be given from the testimonies on this study, but space will not permit them here. Number 4. Use of the tithe. School teachers, those who teach the scriptures, are not paid by the tithe as they should have been. Volume 6, page 215. The house of Elohim is made into a house of merchandise by the buying and selling and denominational publications of all sorts. Isaiah 58, 3. Isaiah 56:7 and Volume 1, page 471, and Volume 8, page 250. Number 6. High prices in our institutions while they should be below current expenses. Volume 8, page 142, Isaiah 56:12 and Isaiah 58. Number 7, disbelieve in the spirit of prophecy. If not acknowledged by the words, it is admitted by the works. Number 8, fail to inform church members of the Elijah's message, Malachi 4:5, Testimonies Ministries, page 475, volume 4, pages 402 and 403. Number 9, Abraham obeyed Elohim in all that he commanded and was very careful even to the smallest particulars. Thus it is counted unto him for righteousness, but we have not done so. See Genesis 26:5 and Genesis 15:6. Number 10, for the promise of the land, heavenly Canaan, is unto Abraham's seed. Yahshua said, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. If you are not the children of Abraham, you are of your father the devil. And the lust of your father you will do. See John 8:39-44. By doing the works of the Abraham, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Galatians 3:29. Insisting that we have all the truth and have need of the nothing. Turning down scriptural claims without investigation as to its light. Volume 5, page 211. For the abominations for which the faithful ones were sighing and crying were all that could be discerned by the finite eye. But by far their worst sins, those which provoked the jealousy of the pure and holy Elohim, were unrevealed. Will this sealing continue unto the close of probation? Question mark. For the sealing of the 144,000 cannot extend to the close of the probation, for they must be sealed long before that time, and it must close before the loud cry of the third angel's message. Early Writings 2:77 says, I saw angels hurrying to and fro in heaven, descending to the earth, and again ascending to heaven, preparing for the fulfillment of some important event. Then I saw another mighty angel commissioned to descend to the earth, to unite his voice with the third angel, and give power and force unto his message. For the great power and glory were imparted unto the angel as he descended. For the earth was lightened with his glory. This message seemed to be an addition to the third message. It seemed to be in the expression, the angels hurrying to and fro. The author has reference to the fulfillment of Ezekiel 9 and then follows the mighty angel of the loud cry of Revelation 18:1. Ezekiel 9 cannot meet its fulfillment at the time Yahshua comes in the clouds, for the slaughter is in the church. The church of Yahshua must be pure and clean, free from every stain, long before Yahshua comes. If we are not in this pure condition, we cannot hope to stand in the time of the trouble, nor can we escape the effects of the plagues. For the church could not stand without an intercessor. After probation, nor before, if there is one unclean thing in the camp of Israel. For this is Yahweh Elohim of the Israel. There is an accursed thing in the midst of thee. O Israel, thou canst not stand before thine enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. Joshua 7:13. As an illustration and comparison of the faithfulness and unity of the people at the time of the trouble during the plagues, we quote early writings, page 282. I saw the saints leaving the cities and villages and associating together in company, and living in the most solitary places. Angels provided them food and water, while the wicked were suffering from the hunger and thirst. Then I saw the leading men of the earth consulting together, and Satan and his angels busy around them. I saw a writing, copies of which were scattered in different parts of the land, giving orders that unless the saints should yield their peculiar faith, give up the Sabbath, and observe the first day of the week, the people were at liberty after a certain time to put them to death. But angels in the form of men of war fought for them. Satan wished to have the privilege of destroying the saints of the Most High, But Yahshua bade his angels watch over them. Next came the multitude of the angry wicked, and next a mass of evil angels hurrying on the wicked to slay the saints. But before they could approach Elohim's people, the wicked must first pass this company of mighty holy angels. This was impossible, for the angels of the Elohim were causing them to recede, and also causing the evil angels who were pressing around them to fall back. It is evident here that Elohim's people are apart by themselves, with no wicked ones among them. Holy angels would not protect unholy people from the wicked multitude. Here we see Elohim's people separated from all wickedness, therefore this shows they are in a perfect unity at the time they leave the villages. When then is this purification of the church? Ezekiel 8 tells us of the abominations done in the midst of Jerusalem, the Seventh-day Adventist church. Ezekiel 9 reveals the consequences unto those who do not sigh and cry for all the abominations. One sinner may diffuse darkness that will exclude the light of Elohim from the entire congregation. Volume 3, page 265. Our next subtitle is Five Men Follow the One. For the men of the slaughter weapons must immediately follow the one with the rider's ink horn. Elohim must separate his people if the marking is to be of any value, and except the separation takes place by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit cannot fall in its fullness upon the people of Elohim. For I asked the meaning of the shaking I had seen, and was shown that it would be caused by the straight testimony called forth by the counsel of the true witness unto the letter sin. This will have its effect upon the heart of the receiver and will lead him to exalt the standard and pour forth the straight truth. Some will not bear the straight testimony. They will rise up against it. And this is what will cause the shaking among Elohim's people. I asked what had made this great change. An angel answered, "It is the latter rain, the refreshing from the presence of the Yahweh, the loud cry of the third angel." Early Writings, page 270. It is clear that the shaking must take place before the loud cry, for the men with the slaughter weapons were already slain before the men with the rider's ink horn returned to report the matter that he had done as he was commanded. See Ezekiel 9:8-11. Distinction between the 144,000 and other saints. Referring unto Israel after the flesh, which is a type of the true Israel, namely the 144,000, Elohim said, "Israel is my firstborn." For the priesthood in the ancient Israel was supposed to be made up of the firstborn of every family. Therefore, the priesthood is termed the firstborn. Had Israel obeyed Elohim and all his precepts, this plan would have been carried out. But when they reached Mount Sinai, they made the golden calf and worshipped it. When Moses came down from the mountain, he took a record of all who had worshipped the calf. Standing in the gate of the camp, Moses called unto the people, "Who is on the Yahweh's side? Let him come unto me." Those who had not joined in the apostasy would take their position at the right of Moses, those who were guilty but repentant at the left. For the command was obeyed. It was found that the tribe of Levi had taken no part in the idolatrous worship. Patriarchs and Proverbs 3:24. For this good reason honored the tribe of Levi. We read on page 277, after the institution of the tabernacle service, the Yahweh chose unto himself the tribe of Levi for the work of the sanctuary instead of the firstborn of the people. But Elohim said, "Israel is my firstborn." The true Israel, 144,000, that promise then would find its fulfillment here. Of them we read, being the first fruits unto Yahweh and the Lamb. If such is the case, So then the 144,000 would be priests and Levites, Isaiah 61, to have no reference to another class than Israel by the promise. The 144,000 and the Gentiles who shall come to the light by their labors. We read Isaiah 6:19-20. And I will set a sign among them, and I will send those that escape of them unto the nations, and they shall bring all your brethren for an offering unto the Yahweh out of all nations. For the 144,000 who escaped the ruin of Ezekiel 9 and Isaiah 63, to which Isaiah 66:16-17 refer, will be sent on a great missionary work during the time of the Lord God. For we read in Isaiah 61:5-6, and strangers, Gentiles, are those who are not of the 144,000, shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers, but you shall be named the priest of the Yahweh. Men, in their glory shall you boast yourself. Other than themselves, 144,000 shall feed their flocks and dress their vine, do their farming in the same manner as it was with the tribe of Levi, for they had no land. Though the Levites had no inheritance of the land, they received about 25% of the increase in the tithes and offering. Thus others than themselves did their work. So with 144,000, who will be priests in the new earth? For the idea here is not that the tithe and offerings from the people would be the support in the earth made new, for these scriptures are merely given to illustrate the position which they occupy. Isaiah 61:7 says, "For your shame you shall have double, and for your confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore in their land they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them." Having two pronouns, ye and they, the pronoun ye receives double for their shame, and the pronoun they shall possess the land, yea. Ye is the pronoun of the second person unto whom Elohim is speaking, and in this case refers to the to the Israel, which is the 144,000. But the pronoun they refers to the Gentiles, who were not numbered among the 12 tribes, and therefore are not included in the 144,000, but are saved, for they rejoice in their portion. In the volume 5, page 475, speaking of the 144,000, we read, "They are to be as kings and priests unto Elohim. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. Therefore the 144,000 are priests and Yahshua the high priest and king." It may be said that when probation closes, Yahshua takes off his priestly garment and is priest no longer. But there need to be no confusion in this, for we read in Isaiah 66:22-23, "For as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me, saith Yahweh, so shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith Yahweh." Thus we see that there is to be a system of worship in the new heaven and earth, which will require priests and Levites. The four classes of the redeemed. Section 2. The four classes of the redeemed. The ensuing study is given to prove that the great multitude of Revelation 7-9 are living saints who with the 144,000 are to be translated at the second coming of the Yahshua. All the saved in the history of the world from the righteous Abel until the close of probation are divided into four great, separate, and distinct classes as follows. Class 1, the 144,000 of Revelation 7, namely the 12 tribes of Israel of the promise, a special company with a special experience. Class 2, the translated at the coming of Yahshua in the clouds, the great multitude of Revelation 7-9. And Class 3, the millions of all ages who were martyred for their faith. Class 4, those who were once zealous in the cause of Satan, but who plucked as a branch from the burning have followed their Savior with a deep, intense devotion. Great Controversy, page 665. Earthly nations and governments glory in the splendid order of their armies, and their uniforms are made according unto their ranks, so that by the uniform one can recognize the rank of a soldier and to which division or regiment he belongs. He must not suppose the great Elohim has less order for his redeemed than earthly nations for their armies. We know Elohim has far better order than any earthly government can ever devise. An endeavor shall be made to prove that each one of the four classes mentioned above have their uniforms by which they can be discerned and classified. In early writings, page 16 and 17, we read, "Here on the sea of glass, the 144,000 stood in a perfect square. Some of them had very bright crowns, others not so bright. Some crowns appear heavy with stars, while others have but few. All were perfectly satisfied with their crowns, and they were all clothed with a glorious white mantle from their shoulders to their feet. For the 144,000 are described as having this glorious white mantle as part of their garments. Class 2 are the translated besides the 144,000. Revelation 7:9 says, "After this, the 144,000 I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man can number of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with the white robes and palms in their hand." It will be noticed this company have palms in their hand. Early writings, page 18 and 19. "As we were traveling along, we met a company who also were gazing at the glories of the place. I noticed red as a border on their garments. Their crowns were brilliant. Their robes were pure white. As we greeted them, I asked Yahshua who they were. He said they were martyrs that had been slain for him. With them was an innumerable company of little ones. They also had a helm of red on their garments." Thus class three, the martyrs, are described as having red on their garments. Class 4, great sinners plucked as brands from the burning, but who died a natural death. These have neither a mantle over their shoulders, palms in their hands, nor red as a border around their garments, but they do have crowns of gold. Their crowns differ from the crowns of the 144,000, the latter having stars in their crown, as stated under the heading Class 1. Thus we have the description of these four classes and the symbols of their garments, and can be summarized as follows. Class 1, the 144,000, has the glorious white mantle and stars in their crowns. Okay, Class 2, the great multitude of Revelation 7:9 have palms in their hands. Class 3, the millions of all ages who were martyred have red around their garments as a border. Class 4, great sinners plucked as brands from the burning, but who died a natural death, who have white robes and golden crowns, but no stars on their crowns. Same as those of Revelation 4:4. There must have been a definite reason for the describing the special uniforms, which must have been for the purpose of disclosing this truth, and the types and antitypes for the spirit of the prophecies says Elijah represents those who will be living when Yahshua comes and be changed in the twinkling of an eye and be translated. The Desire of Ages at page 421, for the Elijah who had been translated to heaven without seeing a death represented those who will be living upon the earth at Yahshua's second coming and who will be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. Reference is made of Enoch in the Patriarchs and Prophets, pages 88-89. For the righteous character of this prophet represents a state of holiness which must be attained by those who shall be redeemed from the earth at the time of Yahshua's second advent. But like Enoch, Elohim's people will seek for purity of heart and conformity to his will until they shall reflect the likeness of Yahshua. Like Enoch, they will warn the world of the Yahshua's second coming and of the judgments to be visited upon the transgression, and by their holy conversation and example, they will condemn the sins of the unrighteous, as Enoch was translated to heaven before the destruction of the world by the water. So the living righteous will be translated from the earth before its destruction by the fire. Though Elijah represents those who shall be translated at the second coming of Yahshua, Enoch does also. Both men were translated without seeing death. For the question is, why two types? Because there are two companies of people to be translated, the 144,000, and the great multitude of Revelation 7-9. For the 144,000 are Israelites, the great multitude are not. Enoch is not an Israelite, therefore he cannot represent Israel, the 144,000. For the name Israel did not come into the existence until the time of Jacob, which was many centuries after Enoch was translated. A clearer explanation on the subject will be given in another session. We shall determine which class Enoch represents by the uniform he wears. Early Writings, page 40, says, "There I saw good old Enoch, who had been translated. On his right arm he bore a glorious palm, and on each leaf was written victory." Here we see Enoch, too, has the palm in his hand, the same as the great multitude, class number 2. Enoch is said to be the seventh from Adam. For the seven means complete finish, thus perfectly typifying the class represented by him in Revelation 7-9, the great multitude. We shall endeavor to bring another proof that the great multitude with the palms in their hands are translated with 144,000. In the Great Controversy, page 665, we read about classes 2, 3, and 4. The part referring to class 4 reads as follows. "Nearest the throne are those who were once zealous in the cause of Satan, but who, plucked as brands from the burning, have followed their Savior with a deep, intense devotion. Next are those who perfected Christian characters in the midst of the falsehood and infidelity, those who honored the law of the Elohim when the Christian world declared it void. Here is included every possible sin to a sinner in all ages who have taken their stand for the Yahweh. But of the class 2, the great multitude, there is no reference given as to what kind of sinners they are. Class 1, the 144,000, are called Israel, a special company with a special experience. After including every possible sin to a sinner in class 4, those who shall be resurrected and the martyrs in class 3, inspiration says, and beyond is a great multitude with the white robes and palms in their hands. Therefore, this company could not be classed with the other two or with the 144,000. If class 2, the great multitude, were the saved and resurrected from all ages, then all of the saved must have palms in their hands. But as it is plain that not all have palms, then these are not all saved in all ages, but are not all the saved in all ages, but are the translated ones only, besides 144,000. The palm is a symbol of victory over death and the grave. That is, they never died. Again, speaking of the same company, we read in Revelation 7:14, the last part. And he said unto me, "These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." Thus this company went through the tribulation of Daniel 12, which is in the time of the seven last plagues, Revelation 7:16, the last part. I don't believe it's in the time of the seven last plagues, though I believe it's before, actually. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. They go through the fourth plague, so it is clear that this company lives in the time of the end at the second advent of Yahshua to be translated. Yeah, I believe all the redeemed is going to live through the seven plagues, but they're going to be protected from them. They're going to be here until the seven last plagues are all poured out. And then that's when the translation takes place of the all the state of all ages. This brings the close of our study. This hour contact is at the 11th hour call. And that's number 11. Click on our audio archives. We're going to close this now with a song. Okay, we're going to close now with a song that I've written entitled Ring the Bells. I have songs to sing. I have bells to ring since the baby has paid a visit, been knocking on my door. I had joy in my heart and now peace truly reigns. I had rules in the living that I didn't have before. Ring the bells, sing this song. Lift your voice, it's been too long. For the world is waiting long overdue. For the Yahweh is calling, yes, he's calling you. I have places to go that sin beckon me. Many foreign nations and the islands of the sea. They are calling for the gospel that's saved with the blood. And to join the royal family as one nation under Yah. Ring the bells, sing the song. Lift your voice, it's been too long. For the world is waiting long overdue. For the Yahweh is calling, yes, he's calling you. Angels will join me to guard my every step. In the case I get that breath and my feet start to slip, to bring me back in focus, place my feet on solid ground, and lift my spirit to heaven for the joy that I found. Ring the bell, sing the song. Is the whole when all is wrong? For the world is waiting for the light of you. For the Yahweh is calling, yes, he's calling you. Ring the bell, sing the song.